In the name of the one who gives tranquility to the hearts of the believers, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. The topic of today, dear brothers and sisters, is the Islamic view on freedom. What is freedom? What is the definition? Do we have limits or don't we? The do's and doesn'ts, and about the different perspectives that we have on freedom. We'll inshallah ta'ala talk about it in a couple of programs, inshallah ta'ala. There is no word that nations have called for, spoken about in length, and desired fervently in their hearts more than freedom. And in the studio, we have our dear expert, Sheikh Muhammadi, an Islamic expert from the Islamic seminaries of Qom. And from London, we have Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. And now I want to say my salams to Ms. Sadiqian, our co-host.
Salam alaikum. Salam, brother. Salam to you, Sheikh, and all our dear viewers. In the name of Allah, the only being that He truly is a high castle, a sure asylum, and steady and firm enclosure. Salam and respects to you all viewers, dear brothers and sisters of Open Talk. This program tries to help us see beyond the society and come up with better concepts, inshallah. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, I'll have more. Thank you. Welcome back. Our mission here is to help everyone, every and each seeker of the truth to spread ideas with them and share different ideas with them. So do have a part in the show and help us. Follow us on our Facebook and Twitter pages and raise your questions, give your comments, and watch our videos on YouTube. And of course, email us, and also we invite you to Skype us. You'll have our phone number throughout the program on the screen. And let's get started with our colleague and our experts and our new subject, freedom.
Thank you. Sheikh Muhammadi, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for coming. You. The definition of freedom, what can you say about it? And do we have different interpretations, Islamic view and other schools of thought?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد معجل فرجهم. I would like to start the discussion with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
With regard to the definition of freedom, I believe that there is no difference between schools or philosophical schools or even divine schools of thought with regard to how to define freedom. So the definition, I think, is the same, and I will talk about the what causes differences. So the definition of freedom is that a man neither in his thoughts nor in his actions is forced or should be forced, is forced or is limited directly or indirectly. Okay, this is the definition of freedom. But
this interpretation, yeah, is the same for all school of thought.
I believe that all schools of thought are the same or are, yeah, in common in this issue. But the thing that is different is when it comes to the implementation and applying this definition and the reality, the differences start.
All right.
So actually there is a sort of addition to this definition that I have to complete definition. Sure. Which is there is an exception to this definition of freedom, which is this freedom and this free will that a person has is as long as this freedom does not lead to the bad of this person, or does not negate the purpose and the goal of this person, the person that we're talking about. So this exception is there in this definition. All of schools of thought have this exception. But the implementation of the elements and the items that are brought about in this definition are different.
Okay? Can you give us an example, Sheikh?
Yeah, for example.
What do you mean with if it's bad for that person? I could understand if we say that it's harm, if that person's freedom leads to harm for other people. Yeah. But what about his own person? Could you give us an example?
I will elaborate on this point. But let me finish this
sure.
point.
Because, yeah, sure.
because it's very important to have this sort of preliminary point. Then, inshallah, we
sure.
will go on with inshallah. The examples and the more details.
Inshallah.
So, as I said, the definition is the same. Okay, the definition is
right.
one, and that exception that I talked about, that it does not, it should not lead to the bad or to the, or it should not go against the goal that this person is created for. Okay, all schools of thought have this, or philosophical schools of thought have this. But the implementation or the how they define, the problem starts from here. How they define, as you said, the bad, okay? How they define, how, for example, this school of thought defines the meaning of good or bad,
right.
okay? Or what is bad or what is good for a human being? What is the purpose for which the human being has been created?
Mm.
What is, for example, the rights that a human being has, okay? These are the questions that the answer to which are different, one school from another, okay? So these are, here differences start. So for example, I or a Muslim, I as a Muslim, would answer these questions in one way. And a person who does not believe, or is a person who adheres, for example, a sort of anthropocentric worldview, would answer these questions, the fourth set questions, in another way. So the result will be completely different. But all of these schools, whether divine schools of thought or even not divine,
all right.
secular ones, all define. As I believe freedom, all believe in and understand
right.
freedom, all define it in this way, okay?
I'm going to hold you there, Sheikh,
right.
inshallah ta'ala. And we're going over to London with Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. Brother Ahmad Hanif, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The question I have, Sheikh, is freedom in Islam as that in the West, or are they different? Which one of the two freedoms is more realistic and coincides with this thought of freedom, the one in Islam or the one in the West?
Well, I think there is some overlap.
All right.
I think there are areas of divergence. In some, I think the idea of freedom in Islam is much more complete.
It's more complete.
Why is this? Because
right.
I think in the area of overlap, we can talk about things like political freedom, social freedom, freedom of movement, you know, freedom of information, and things of that nature, where there is some commonality between us. But as the previous speaker noted, it is curtailed or defined by our concept of what is good and what is bad. You know, but in general, for example, let's say freedom of information, you know, everybody agrees that people should have freedom of information. What is good information, what is bad information, again, is something subjective to the society that we are dealing with.
All right.
But I think the area of freedom which Islam talks about also is what the West doesn't talk about at all. And this is the freedom of the spirit. The freedom of being able to realize one's perfection as a human being. You know, the freedom of growth in the spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what I think Islam also is legislating, that people have the opportunity to practice, you know, to remove from societies, for example, those immoral restraints and distractions that would prevent someone from achieving their higher potential on a spiritual level.
All right, thank you, Sheikh. If I ask you, Sheikh Muhammadi, the text about freedom, the Islamic sources, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, what do we have from it that we could say that, yes, this is talking about, this particular text is talking about freedom?
Yeah, actually the Holy Quran and our traditions, there are many and numerous cases in the Holy Quran and our traditions talking about this issue. But I'd rather to complete the previous point and then go to the text, the Islamic text that we have in the Holy Quran and traditions. So as I was talking, the definition and the exception that I talked about are the same in all schools of thought. But the implementation and how to apply this definition in the real life is different from one school to another. So for example, a Muslim worldview would say that, would go on with this premises that I'm talking about, that first we believe that there is a creator for this world and this universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this creator. And He has created the universe and human being. And He has put the ultimate goal of human being, prosperity and perfection, okay? So human being is going to be perfected. Human being is created to be perfected and to be to achieve prosperity. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided human being with guides that guide him or show him the way to this ultimate goal, which is free, which is prosperity and perfection.
Sheikh, I'm going to hold you there. We're going to come back after the break, inshallah. We're going to continue, inshallah. Okay. So please join us after the break.
It is interesting to compare the dictionary term of freedom with freedom from an Islamic perspective. The dictionary defines freedom as the right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. But Islam teaches that submission to the will and laws of Allah give freedom because it ensures freedom for all, not merely the desires of a few. But how does Islam justify that restraints free man? Man from childhood needs guidelines and laws to follow in order to ensure his safety. When we live by divine laws, we submit our minds and bodies to a greater intelligence, thereby freeing our minds from all influences of the world. Divine laws help mankind overcome oppressive tyrants, unjust laws, our lusts, deviations, and psychological complexes, which enslave his will. Submission to the will of Allah grants man the right to choose a better way of life, to live his life in a moral and upright way. Oppression and servitude deprive man of his moral freedom because they are a prison that deprive human life of all sense of higher purpose, robs man of his free will, and destroys all that is good in human nature. Islam came to break man's fetters and tear down the wall of his prison. It created an atmosphere of hope and optimism, which gave a true meaning to human existence. The freedom that Islam grants is based on commitment and responsibility, without which there can be no true freedom. Freedom without restraints leads only to nihilism, the consequence of which is a complete breakdown of the moral and social order. Islam encourages freedom of thought, speech, politics, economy, individual conduct, but insists that this freedom encompass a sense of responsibility and commitment.
Thank Thank you, viewers, for watching. To you and Dr. Hani from London, browsing the web on the website islammessage.com, I happen to see an article about freedom in Islam. To the question, does freedom mean being left completely without any regulation? The answer is, the Islam's recognition of freedom does not imply that it leaves the individual free of all restrictions and guidelines, because that kind of freedom is mere anarchy that gives free rein to lusts and evil desires. It is well known that these vain desires bring more harm to the human being. Here, the individual freedom is divided into two parts, Sheikh Hanif: individual freedom from with reference to material concerns, and individual freedom with reference to more abstract matters. Do you confirm this division, Sheikh? Sheikh Hanif?
Who are you addressing it to, me?
Yeah. Are we connected? Do you confirm the division of individual freedom into two parts on this site, individual freedom with reference to material concerns and individual freedom with reference to more abstract matters? Do you agree? Do you have my voice, Sheikh Hanif?
Oh, are you talking to me? I didn't know you were addressing it to me. Yes, I agree. With the idea that the abstract matters involve the religious or the spiritual, as well as the ideal. You know, for example, justice and law and knowledge and so forth. You know, we can say abstract matters, but also on a spiritual level in terms of the growth and the development of the human spirit as well. Yes, I agree completely.
Thank you. Could you please add more parts, if you have, of course, any, to this division?
Add what?
Do you have any more parts to add to this division?
I think that encompasses the whole thing. I mean, when you look at the concept of Hurriya in Islam, Hurriya involves, on a more social level, people who are not slaves, right?
Yeah.
You know, people who are not owned by someone else. And this includes all kinds of things in a modern context, for example.
Yeah.
You know, not being oppressed by somebody else, not having your social rights or your social power being restricted by others, etc., etc.
Yeah,
this
sure.
is one aspect of freedom. The other aspect of freedom, of which is Hurriya, is not being spiritually determined by others or by your environment.
You know,
you have many, many hadith that talk about this. You know, that the ideal free person is a person who is not determined by his environment. And one example that they used was Hazrat Yusuf in the well. You know, Hazrat Yusuf was not, in that desperate circumstance, a person who lost his faith in Allah or who became despairing or something like that.
Yes,
you know,
right.
That depend, regardless of whatever situation you might be in, you remain constantly as a servant of Allah and, you know, trusting in God and knowing that you will return to God.
Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you so much.
And so, you're welcome.
Yes, Brother Wahid.
Thank you. Sheikh Muhammadi, you were saying before the break. Please continue.
All right. So far, we've said that the definition of freedom is the same, and we said that no one accepts absolute freedom. Even the secular understanding of freedom doesn't accept the absolute freedom. We see in Western countries they ban, for example, hijab for women, and
some Western countries.
Some Western countries, right. Not all of them. they ban hijab and say because it's it's against some laws and some rules that we have. So no one accepts absolute freedom. Islam is the same. Okay, Islamic freedom or Islamic understanding of freedom is the same. So so far we understand, we have understood that this the definition of freedom is the same. And that is the implementation of freedom that is different from one school to another, okay? So I was talking about the Islamic understanding or how Islam defines, how Islam understands these items that I talked about, the goal of human being, because the implementation and application of this definition is based on at least these three items: the goal of the human being, the rights of the human being, that is based on the goal of human being. So if you don't know the goal of human being, you don't know how what rights he has, okay? And the limitations that this the obstacles, the limitations that this freedom
has.
Yeah.
So could you please give us some examples from this limitation?
Yeah. For example, this limitation, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has created us. Before that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created us and has put for us two guides: one internal guide and one external guide, which is the internal one is the intellect, and the external one is religion or prophets. Okay, whatever we believe that whatever intellect or religion consider it to be against the goal of human being, which is perfection and prosperity, is excluded from freedom. Okay.
Even if that person wants it.
Even if that person wants it, because it's against he himself. Okay. So you are not free to destroy yourself. Right. This is what I'm talking about. That is different from Islam. Is different from other schools. Maybe for example, a secular school would say that if a person, even if a person wants to kill himself, for example, okay, he wants to be free because it's his freedom. But Islam says no, it's not the case, because it's not for the good of this person, rather it's for the bad of this person, because it will destroy him, will destroy his spirituality. Okay, so
true.
This is the this is where Islam and other schools of thought depart.
Yes. Okay. All right, and there's text that we talked about.
And the text.
If you have anything from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet.
Actually, as I said, there are numerous examples of Quranic texts and Quranic verses that I want just read you some of them. The first verse that I'm going to read you is indicating that no one is forced to think in a certain way. Okay, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has not obliged and forced anybody to think in for example, a specific or certain way.
All right.
Everybody is free to think or to adhere whatever thought he would adhere. The first verse is Surah Baqarah, verse 256, the very famous verse. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. La ikraha fi ad-din, qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghay. There is no compulsion in religion. Rectitude has become distinct from error.
Because of shortage of time, Sheikh, could you also give us two hadith?
All right. Actually, there are. I think it's a last, because there are many beautiful verses of
all right,
the Holy
Quran. Give us two verses then.
All right. So this is for this one. Another one is the prophets came to free people, to free man. This is the verse Surah A'raf, verse 157. I leave the
Arabic
beginning or right. just read this part.
All right.
It says, One of the responsibilities of Anbiya and of the prophets was وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرَّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَاثِ وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. They came to make lawful to them all good things and forbid them from all vicious things, and relieves them of their burdens and the shackles that were upon them. So one of the most important duties and responsibilities of prophets was and is to leave people and free people, leave people from their shackles and the, you know, the mental shackles they have, or whatever hindrances that they may have. Okay, so this is another example of the Holy Quran right. with regard to freedom.
Inshallah, we're going to come back to the text. I'm going to go and switch over to Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, there are some Western thinkers who claim that we are not truly free in its true meaning. For example, they say that we manufacture consent, and there are books about it even, manufacturing consent through media, for example. Are people truly free to be able to decide their own fate, ruler, religion, and etc.?
Look, I think when we start, when we are talking about the media, every state media, everyone, every yes. single one, without exception, manufacture consent. Believe, and when I say this, I think you understand where I'm coming from. I underline it. Everyone, without exception,
yes.
every state media manufactures consent. Okay? Because the state is based upon an ideology. Every state is based upon an ideology. And every state will present news or withhold news in order to support that particular ideology. And this includes the Islamic Republic of Iran. All yes. states are like this. This is the nature of the state. Okay, now human beings are only free insofar as they have knowledge.
All right.
Okay, and I'm not saying that all states, because they manufacture consent, you know, are evil. No, this is just the nature of the state. Right? You know what I mean? If I want to write a book about something, about some political matter, you know, I would write a book according to what I think this, what I think is right.
True.
You know, and I think sometimes you can get into propaganda
without knowing,
you know, in which case now you are actually doing wrong. You see, I think you know, freedom is something relative. You know, there's no such, as you mentioned, no such thing as absolute freedom.
No, but is there anything we
okay,
can do?
Okay, so people are constrained by what they know.
Is there anything we can do to limit this manufacturing consent?
Yes, I think so. I think in terms of letting people have access to various modes of information, you know, getting yes. people to read about things that maybe the state might not necessarily agree with. I don't mean things that are morally wrong.
No. You right? mean source of information.
You know, I think, for example, if you're living in a capitalist state, you should have access to reading, for example, socialist material.
Yes.
I think if you're living in an Islamic state, you should have access to reading about ideas that oppose Islam, for example.
That's true.
To be able to be more informed.
That's
you know,
true.
I think what comes out of this is a more intelligent person. Islam is the truth. Islam makes sense, right?
Yes.
I don't think we should be afraid of letting people have access to other forms of information, you know, because
Thank
it strengthens
you, brother.
Islam rather than...
That was a very strong response. A very strong response, Brother Ahmad Hanif. Thank you very much for that answer. Ms. Sadiqian, over to you.
Thank you, brother. Here's a video clip from sayings of Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah Alayh. Let's watch. Do stay with us and come back.
اینها آزادی منهای اسلام را میخواهند. این غیر از طریق شماست. شما اسلام را میخواهید. ما اسلام را میخواهیم که اسلام آزادی به ما بدهد. نه آزادی منهای اسلام. اونها استقلال منهای قرآن را میخواهند. ما قرآن را میخواهیم. ما اگر تمام آزادی ها را به ما بدهند، تمام استقلال ها را به ما بدهند و بخواهند قرآن را از ما بگیرند، نمیخواهیم. با صورتهای آزادی ما میخواهیم، دموکراتیک ما میخواهیم، استقلال میخواهیم. اسلام چی؟ منهای اسلام. اسلام است که شما را آزادی داد و آورد در میدان. بر ضد اسلام قیام نکنید. آزادی هست، توطئه نیست. آزادی معناش این نیست که بنشینید بر خلاف اسلام صحبت کنید. آزادی در حدود قانون است.
Yes, dear viewers, one more time I quote the clever sayings of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi for you and also for Sheikh Hanif. Sheikh Hanif, I would like you to share your knowledge with us on this issue. Imam Khomeini says, segments that have nothing to do with Islam, what do they have to do with freedom? They want freedom, indeed freedom outside of Islam's realms. We want Islam so Islam can give us freedom. We want Quran. If they give all their freedom but remove Quran, we refuse it. They say we want freedom, democracy, independence, but not Islam. There is freedom, but no place for conspiracies. Could you please, Sheikh Hanif, could you please shed light upon what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi emphasized and shed light upon it?
Yeah, I think what the Imam is talking about is an idea of freedom that is very prevalent in the West, and it is based upon the Western experience. You know, that people think of freedom largely in terms of being anti-religious. That they think that religion is the obstacle to freedom. And I think this has to do with Western people's subjective experience with the Catholic Church or with the Christian Church in general.
Yes.
In the sense that science was opposed, scientific advancement was opposed by the church, and that people's social and political growth were stifled by corrupt behavior of the Rouhanis in power. And I think it is something that Muslims need to learn from. From the point of view of Islam,
right,
and the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, there is no opposition to freedom of thought, freedom of experimentation, you know, freedom of science and knowledge. You know, Allah tells us to travel through the world and see the result of people who have disobeyed Him. Which means studying their rules, studying their ideology, studying, you know, things about them.
True.
So Islam should not be afraid of entertaining other ideas, of challenging other ideas, of encouraging its people to study, you know, to know what the Bible is saying and so forth and so on. You know, and that this is what the freedom of the Imam Khomeini is talking about.
Yeah.
This is the freedom within Islam. The freedom within Islam is not a restriction to human growth and development.
Yes, Sheikh. Thank you for your clarification. Brother Wahid, we're all ears for the rest of our discussion.
Thank you, Ms. Sadiqian. Sheikh Muhammadi, could you please tell us more about the verses that you were explaining from the Noble Quran?
Yes. Actually, I want to emphasize on the fact that what my brother said is true, and this is what Islam and the Holy Quran says. Mm. That,
so you agree with the things that Sheikh Ahmad Hanif said?
Yes, actually this is
that manufacturing consent is in all countries, including our own in Iran.
Actually, yeah, having this in mind, that manufacturing consent is not always bad. Okay.
No.
So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, what is Islamic State? What is, for example, having these you know, slogans, Islamic slogans that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in his time. All the atmosphere that is prevailing society should be in a way that Muslims or the ones who adheres that ideology can live simply, and others can understand what is going on that or in that society. So this is something. What is bad? What is bad is to abuse media or any other, you know, any other means to prevail a bad ideology. Okay, what is bad is this one. So this is.
But the things that Sheikh Ahmad Hanif emphasized on also was not only immoral things. Yeah. All right, we should have some censorship there. But what he emphasized was also the point that we should have free access to different information sources, yeah. even if they are against our own values.
Yeah, actually, we
is that bad too?
Yeah, as I said, you know, the limitation, the freedom is something that comes from our nature. Yeah. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala does not issue any ruling which goes against our nature. Okay. So freedom comes out of our nature.
Yes.
So we want freedom, except the time or when it is against our own good, that I talked about. You know, against our goal, the goal that we are created for. Okay, and that discerns it, aql, our intellect, and the religion. What is bad and what is good. Or what is right. in line with our goal,
yes.
the goal of creation, and what is not in line with that.
You mentioned a verse in the break which mentioned this kind of different access to different sources.
Yes, yes.
Could you please mention it?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Zumar, verse number 17-18 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فبشر عباد الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those who seek, this is the verse before this, so give good tidings to my servants who listen to the world. Okay, so there should be a word to be listened. Okay, so
different words.
Yeah, different words. So. But the words and follow the best of it. Okay. Mm. So if you want to have options, you have to have options.
That option should be available.
Yeah, available
for the person to choose himself.
But there are some levels in society that we have. For example, the box, the taboo box or the banned box for lay people. That is something else that should be talked about. Why is that? Why they are not free to, for example, read those books?
But now, what I understood from Sheikh Ahmad Hanif was that even those books should be available for the layman, for the people.
Not for the lay people. This is not. As I said, this is against both intellect and against religion. We have traditions, okay? We have traditions that it's forbidden.
All right.
And this has its intellectual roots as well. So if you, for example, this is what the manufacturing consent is.
Let me give you an example.
Manufacturing consent is this, that you provide, this is a bad manufacturing consent, that you provide a person who does not have the power to discern what is good and bad, provide him with bad information, strong bad information.
We could provide him with good information also, side by side.
Yeah, or
and
no.
Let him.
If this is the case, it's okay. This is the case, but if you just provide him with bad information, okay. So, for example,
were saying, Sheikh, was that in an Islamic country, for example, we should have, beside the Islamic values that we have, there should be access to Christian books or Buddhist books and Hinduism books and so on.
In
the example that the Sheikh gave was that in a capitalistic country like the U.S. there should be books available that talks about socialism or communism and so on. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Those kind of sources should exist in a society.
For example, you choose from this society a couple of these, for example, people or a few number of these people, collect them, for example, in a sort of university, okay? And you know that they don't have access to, for example, to other informations. And you start to giving them, you know, bad information.
Yes.
Not bad, or a certain information, okay? Mm. This is not what freedom calls for, okay?
All right.
What Islam says is that if a person, the potentiality that the person has are enough to compare good and bad. This is another verse that I wanted to
so read Islam you. Accepts a little bit of censorship.
Yeah.
Could we say that?
It's not censorship.
Free access to all kinds of information.
You know, as I said, this is that you know, that exception that all agree upon. Yet the examples are different. Even the US or any other country, they have censorship. Any country has this censorship, but the criteria are different. Okay,
sure.
So Islam says that, for example, if a person does not have access to true information or the information that I'm giving him, it doesn't have that. It's haram for him to go for other informations.
We inshallah come back to that topic inshallah ta'ala. I think Ms. Sadiqian, you have something prepared for us.
Yes, brother. Of course, you nicely mentioned many points up to here. Mm. Let's have one of our viewers through Skype.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our program. Let's have your name first and introduce yourself.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Shahid Pradhan. I'm studying in Al Mustafa University, Qum. I'm studying your Islamic philosophy and Islamic studies.
Thank you, brother, for joining. The question is here. Do you think that Islam is based on freedom, and how do you define freedom in Islam? And support your idea, please.
Islam takes care of the freedom. I think it's better than other systems. If I say what is freedom, and we have different societies in the world, when they say freedom, freedom means you are free to do anything, but there's a limit. It says you have the freedom, but the freedom should not harm anybody or yourself. For example, if somebody has the freedom to open a sweet shop or juice shop, but he can't put a chemical inside the juice which can harm others if they drink. So the systems all over the world take care of the material aspect of the man. So they take care that somebody has a freedom, but he should not harm anybody. But when it comes to Islam, Islam is, you know, Islam, the system and the rules are based on Quran. The Quran is the word of God, the word of Allah. And the Allah is the creator of human being. And when he makes the rules and laws, he just does not take care of the materialistic things. He takes care of the spiritual thing as well. So when in Islam the rules are made, it does not take, just keep in mind your material aspect. That it keep in mind your spiritual aspect as well. So when it is a rules informed in Islam, it takes up your spiritual aspect and take cares of it. So no harm comes to your spiritual as well as body, as well as your material aspect.
Thank you, brother, for participating. You can have more, of course, about spiritual aspect of freedom in Islam if you follow our program. Sheikh Mohammadi, I would like to address this side to you. On the website acton.org, the author of an article about Islam and freedom states, Islam is the stereotype of the unknowable other in the West today. Yet the commonality between Islam and Christianity is greater than the difference. No doubt the belief held by Christians of the divinity of Christ is not held by Muslims. Yet Muslims revere Jesus, peace be upon him, as an outstanding prophet and Messiah, and acknowledge the legitimacy of the Christian community as people of the book. For Christians who believe that their religion mandates a free society, there is a commonality between their understanding of Christianity and Quranic Islam that is of fundamental importance. Could you please clarify this commonality between Islam and Christianity mentioned on freedom on this site?
All right. Actually, I think, as I said, since the definition of freedom is the same within all schools whether it's divine school like Christianity or Islam or even secular school. Since the definition is the same, okay, from top to the end is the same. Even the exceptions that they hold are the same.
Yeah.
But the examples are different. So I think it's quite reasonable that Christianity and Islam have this understanding, understanding of freedom. So I think it's quite rational and reasonable, this freedom that actually definition that they have, Christianity and Islam.
Thank you so much, yeah. Brother Wahid, we're with you.
Thank you. Sheikh, now if I got it correctly, there should be free access to information, yeah. But at the same time you're saying that Islam accepts censorship. Could you elaborate? For example, if I look at this country that we are in right now, what kind of information could they possibly give in a university, even if it is against Islamic values, that Islam doesn't have an answer for it, or that kind of information doesn't exist in this Islamic society or this Muslim society that we are in?
Yeah. For example, suppose that there is the University of Economics, okay, and the professor he comes and start talking about things that are not related to the, for example, economics, or is not his own profession, is not his expertise, and he does not give any other sources or any other choice for his students, mm. And he knows that they're not going to go for it, they're not going to look into that issue. This is what is forbidden. You cannot provide a person with some information that even though those information might be correct,
yes.
In your perspective, okay, according to your perspective, but since those people have not access, and you're sure that those people have not access to other informations, okay,
mm.
Or other understanding of that issue that you're talking about, it's not moral, you know, it's not ethical, mm. If you talk about those things.
But yeah. You could say the same to the Muslim teacher or the Muslim professor
that
provides Islamic values,
yes.
Or Islamic teaching,
yes,
and
of
doesn't
course.
Provide with other perspective.
Of course, for example, if you want to talk about Islamic issues, you have to say, all right, this is what Islam says, and Christianity says this. This is the source. You have to refer to that
thank
and compare
much,
them.
Thank right. you very much. Unfortunately, yeah. Out of time.
Okay.
Thank you for coming over,
yeah.
And I want to thank Sheikh Ahmad Hanif from London. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to speak with you. Inshallah, in the next programs. And thank you, Ms. Saleh Ghian, for the technical support.
And thank you for your support, and I appreciate
thank
our
you.
Precious presence, the precious presence of our experts. Dear viewers, may Allah be with you when life gets rough, and may Allah bless you more than enough. Take care.
Don't forget us in your prayers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Sheikh.